So, here we are, back for church a second time round. Woohoo! So we're thinking this evening about being united in Christ. But actually, the passage that I was given is quite a lot more complicated than that. So I'm going to kind of split my message into two parts tonight, because there's an if and then a then to this passage. In Philippians. And those are really interesting, the ifs and thens, because, you know, they kind of go together. I always think it's a bit like programming as well, but, you know, hey, sorry about that. But before I start, I just want to quickly mention something about unity that can easily be overlooked. So, first of all, the ideal elders meeting would like this, okay? So there would be me, of course, yeah, and then there would be Thomas. Then there would be Colin. Then there would be Duncan. And then these are all my names. Then would be Usher, and then a whole lot of others that looked pretty much like this. So, because they would always all agree, wouldn't they? Well, yeah, I don't always agree with myself, but roughly they would be totally in agreement. They'd be of one mind. But that's not how our elders' meeting is. First of all, we have Louise. And then we have all sorts of other people. There's Rob, Peter, Rosemary, Jenny, and lots of people with the surname Wilson. And of course, then there's others as well, you know, who come and stick their oar in. Kath and Dan. We do. We love them. I tell you what, they are a bit they're a bit insightful, those two. Yeah. See, the thing is, we're all different, and we all think a bit different, and, you know, you'd think that there'd be some serious problems and disagreements and things. Well, I've certainly been in elders' meetings where that was the case, many, many years ago, but I think there's something really special about the elders' meeting. They are lovely, gracious people, apart from me, of course, who really seek the good of God's church before they want to impose their own opinions. We meet, and it's such a pleasure, because we're united in a way that the group of Collins never really could be, because we'd just be all have the same opinion. It wouldn't be a balanced opinion. It would just be my opinion, and that really wouldn't be good. Because what we're trying to do is kind of find our way forward, understand between each other where God is taking us, and to express church, God's church, just right here and right now. And I think the lovely thing about it is there's a real sense of mutual respect and unity of purpose that gives God a great chance of working through us. And I count it a great privilege to serve with this group of people. I think it's fantastic as we meet almost fortnightly that we can share together like that as elders, under, of course, the headship of Christ himself. You know, it's like, it's a sort of very special fellowship group within the context of church. It's quite extraordinary and lovely. Okay, coming back to the passage. I'm going to use the message mostly for this today. So it's probably the first little bit's on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if you want to look it up in something else. So it goes, if you have got anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference to your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you have a care. Okay, so this is the if section. If any of that or all of that is true for you, then something else is going to come. I'll do the ifs first, though. You know, it's a really interesting question to ask. Sometimes we ask it actually far too much. You know, what am I getting out of this? I come to church and it's rubbish. Or I come to church and it should be different. But actually, it's also good to look at this in a godly sort of way. Have I got anything out of following Christ? What has changed in me because Jesus is in my life? Because the Holy Spirit envelops me? Has it made a difference? I hope so. The passage asks the question, has it? Well, for me, it seems blindingly obvious that following Jesus through a huge amount of my life has made a huge difference to me. Pretty much everything started to change when I became a Christian when I was 15 or something. And then one day I was walking home because my bike had a puncture, one evening, and I walked into this park in Edinburgh where I lived, and I was praying, and God's Holy Spirit just filled me, touched me, changed me in the most extraordinary way. And that kind of becoming a different person really accelerated as the Holy Spirit took hold of me. That was almost exactly 45 years ago. I always remember that, just before Pentecost, because it was just around that time. That was my story in a very simplified form. But of course, it's not the same for everyone, and we wouldn't expect it to be the same for everybody, because actually that'd be really boring, wouldn't it? We're all different. We've all got different pasts and different histories, and obviously the person I know her story best is Jenny. Jenny's completely different. She grew up in this Christian home which nurtured her. She went to various churches, and she can't actually remember a time when she didn't believe. And I often think, you know, it shows. She had a 15-year head start on me, you know. That Jenny, who has also had a big impact on me by God's grace, you know, that sort of, I don't know. Am I wearing rose-tinted specs? Possibly. But she seems like such a saint to me. Have you got anything? Yeah, I can see a few people smiling at me. Yeah, of course, stupid boy. Mike almost got up and said that. Thank you, Mike. It's too polite. Would be true. You know, we've all got our own different pasts, haven't we? And it's such an important thing, having this Christian life undergirding us, so that when we go through the good times, we can celebrate together with God. But through bad times also, we've got that strength. When my lovely friend Paul died, what I noticed was that my attitude to his death was so different from so many other people. Theirs was such a sense of defeat, and mine, I kind of felt like, yeah, he's in God's hands. It was the same, you know, when my son Duncan was so ill a few years ago. You know, having the Lord and the Lord's people surrounding me during that, so important. How do people manage without Christ? I can't. I just don't get it. I just don't. And even now, with Jenny's sister Kathy, so ill, and yet we can sit together, Jenny and me, and we can pray for her. And Jenny will be there. She'll be praying for her, praying that God will inspire her with the right words to say. Every moment, I think, I need him. In the second part of that little bit I read, it says, if being a community of the Spirit means anything to you, we are a community of the Spirit. We're a community of the Holy Spirit. We are united together by the love of God, who has gone to the cross to die for every single one of us so that we could have this intimate friendship with God. So we worship. We've just been doing that, haven't we? We've been worshiping this extraordinary God. And we pray. And we do that in lots of different ways around the church. I mentioned the elders' meeting is almost like a fellowship group. I go to another fellowship group, the music fellowship group. It's really, you know, it's not like any other fellowship group I've ever been to. And there's lots of groups all around the church, people who meet sometimes for a particular purpose, to do particular things, or just to meet and study the word together or pray together. And all these things are so important. They're such an important dimension. And the incredible thing that you find is no matter where you go, that fellowship of the Spirit exists. There in Malawi, meeting those lovely guys who are so passionate about bringing help, but the word of God also into other people's lives, walking into that Assemblies of God church, just like, it feels like home. And that's because it is. Because you're surrounded by this massive worldwide family. And when there's a few of us here, you can easily forget that that's the case. But you know what? If anything has made a difference in your life, by following Jesus, actually, that is so important. If, then. Okay, I'm just going to read the whole of this bit slightly oddly. The bits in brackets are actually me then repeating that little phrase from the NIV, because I think it's sort of good to see the two side by side. If you got anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. The NIV says, make my joy complete. I think those two are very interesting, stood side by side. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet your talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others to get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Or, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Wow. So if our lives have been changed, and they have, sometimes the changes we can't actually recognize ourselves, somebody else can, you'd probably need them to tell you. But if our lives have been changed by following Christ, then this is the outcome. To agree, to love, to be deep-spirited friend, to not be pushy, not be sweet-talking, but to help others, not to try and take advantage of anybody, but to have humility, to uphold other people. That sounds easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, no.
But, you know, it's if we want to get that into our hearts, right, we want to try and... How are we going to accomplish that? Well, you know, I think we're just never going to manage. At the end of the day, we're just not going to manage, not without the Spirit of God infecting our hearts, changing us, and helping us, enabling us to become that person who works that way. It's a high calling. And actually, when you think about it, it is the example that Jesus set. We're trying to follow Jesus. Everything he did was about blessing his followers, and that's us. He didn't seek his own interests, but he went to the cross to bring salvation, the salvation that each one of us needed. He stepped on the threshold of hell so that we could be restrained from that fall into the everlasting pit, into darkness. He showed unimaginable humility. The God of the universe conceived of the Virgin Mary, we're told. That's one cell. Conception is a single cell. That's what God did. That's the level of humility that he had. You cannot comprehend it, so don't try. But that is extraordinary. And then born in a stable. I mean, he was called Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a really common name. And Nazareth, we're told, is a pretty ordinary place. Can anything good come from Nazareth, somebody said. So he absolutely embodies all that, seeking to promote the needs of others before himself. Sometimes absolutely exhausted, but still empowered by the Spirit to still the storm on the lake. When he woke up, the Spirit was so strong in him, he could still that storm that the disciples were so scared of. To the Pharisees, he told the truth, and they didn't like it much. But in his deep love, he did not condemn the woman that had been caught in adultery. We follow the one whose example is well beyond what we expect to achieve in this life. But that high calling drives us on, knowing that by the power of the Spirit within us, we can accomplish much more than we could if we did not have Christ as our enabler. And so we come back to the theme, unity. It's one of the most difficult things to achieve without God in the center of it. I looked at several versions of the Bible, because my Greek's not up to much. Agree with each other, says the Message. Being like-minded, says the NIV. Be united in what you think as though you're one person, says the CEV. Intent on one purpose, says the Amplified. Be ye like-minded, being of one accord, of one mind, says the King James. Quite a spread, but all taking us back to that central theme. Unity and agreement are so hard for us to achieve. For we've all got our own issues, haven't we? We've got our faith histories, which are rich and varied. We've got different church backgrounds. And of course, we've got our own innate characters and our gifts and our talents. And every single one of those things and more shape us. Even within the context of our Christian faith, they're bound to shape us, aren't they? But I come back to the example of the elders' meeting here at our own church. You know, we can disagree on quite major issues. Even theological issues we can disagree on. And yet, we can still respect each other. I find this quite extraordinary and very freeing. We almost respect each other because we're able to disagree. At one recent meeting, one elder said to another something roughly like this: I'm sorry, but I cannot agree with you on that. The Bible seems to contradict your view. And the other elder said, it's great that we can disagree and that you can feel free to express that. Otherwise, how could we find the right way forward for our church at this time? It's actually so important. Unity within that means we can, in a godly way, find a way forward. We can be truthful with each other. And that throughout the whole church is such a gift, such a wonderful thing. I have to say that in that moment, I really felt a real warmth of fellowship. Because, you know, we were all respecting, honoring each other and working together. What an absolute blessing. And so it should be within all of our fellowships at all times, whether it's the church meeting or your little prayer fellowship or whatever, that mutual respect. Because no one can say, I know for sure, you know, this is exactly this way. No, if there's a word that comes from God to us, the whole church is called to test that word. Each of us has to speak as we understand, but we've all got to be accepted by one another. Just as we each have a right to see things slightly differently. Louise was instructing us this morning to worship wholeheartedly and yet individually. She was saying, you know, you can worship with your arms folded, or you can be as silly as Colin and jump around at the back. No, she didn't actually quite say that. But I did kind of feel she was looking at me at the time. And actually, that's just absolutely true for fellowshipping together as well. We should feel able to speak in a way that promotes unity in the church, but also a diverse understanding. Because that's the richness of our fellowship. A way that respects and honors every single person. And in that way, actually, it helps us all to grow as well. You see that within Alpha. One of the things you're instructed in Alpha is to let people say whatever they think. Because actually in expressing your own thoughts, you can find your way to actually a different way of thinking. And there's a sense in which, in a slightly different way, we do that within the church. Paul says, make my joy complete. And I think actually that is what God is saying to us. Be united. Make my joy complete. God rejoices in a united church, in a church that overflows with love for one another and respect. When brothers and sisters live together in unity, or worship together in unity, fellowship together in unity, then God delights in each of us and in our fellowship. May his delight in us bring fruit into our fellowship. Because as we accept each other, we can accept other people with that same level of love. People can feel that they can come and express their own opinions and we will accept them. And that is how it should be, so that we can reach them with the good news of the gospel. That unity can spread into the lives of others. The fruit of the Spirit of God. That's what we want to see, isn't it? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for all that we share, from the wonders of bread and wine shared in communion, through to our fellowship groups, the church meeting, the elders meeting, the prayer times. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. And we pray you'd continue to bind us together, to make us strong, honest, respectful, and full of love, so that others may see the love that we have for one another and be drawn into our fellowship, that we all may rejoice together to know you, to love you, and to find our individual place within the body of the church. In Jesus' name, we pray these things.